It's time for another Holiday Hot Mess episode of Keeping the Yuletide Gay with Gayson. So get ready as we don our gay apparel from our Christmas closet. Welcome to another episode of Keeping the Yuletide Gay with Gayson, or as my friends just call me, Jason. Hello, my holiday elves, and happy Thanksgiving to our American listeners. We're here in November, or as I like to call it, Christmas Month Eve. In this episode, we're going to be learning about those twinkling lights we all love in our five-minute festive fun fact. Mrs. Claus has a melted treat, and Old Man Winter covers a kitty of a song. So let's get on with the show and start things off with our five-minute festive fun fact. There are quite a few debates in the world of Christmas decorating, and none bigger than, do you use multicolored lights or clear lights for your tree? Now, I'm a fan of both, but I definitely lean more towards the clear bulbs. To me, it's like a classier Christmas if you're trying to like class up an event. Multicolored is definitely more for like a fun, lively thing. I always put up my tree in November, and as I was turning on the lights of my new tree, which, by the way, y'all, is way too tall, so now I gotta deal with that. But anyway, I made it work. I got to thinking about Christmas lights, and honestly, I wanted to know more about them. So today's five-minute festive fun fact is all about Christmas lights. The custom of Christmas lights on a Christmas tree goes back to when Christmas trees were decorated with candles, which symbolized Christ being the light of the world. Now, the Christmas tree was first recorded to be used by the Lutheran Christians in the 16th century. Then in homes, German Lutherans brought the decorated Christmas tree with them. And it was the Moravians who actually put lighted candles on those trees. And then the Christmas tree was slowly adopted into upper class homes in the 18th century in Germany. And then there, it was also occasionally decorated with candles. And the candles, in fact, were actually kind of glued to the tree with melted wax. Or in some cases, they just used like a pin to kind of like pin it to the tree, if you will. Early electric Christmas lights were introduced beginning in the 1880s. The first illuminated tree became established in the UK during Queen Victoria's reign and through immigration spread to North America and Australia. Now, the first known electrically illuminated Christmas tree in the US was the creation of Edward H. Johnson, an associate inventor of Thomas Edison. Now, while he was vice president of the Edison Electric Light Company, he had Christmas tree light bulbs especially made for him. His Christmas tree had been hand-wired with 80 red, white, and blue electric incandescent light bulbs the size of walnuts for Christmas of 1882. By 1900, businesses started stringing up Christmas lights behind their windows. Christmas lights were actually too expensive for the average person. And as such, electric Christmas lights did not become the majority replacement for candles until 1930. In 1895, U.S. President Grover Cleveland sponsored the first electrically lit Christmas tree in the White House, and it featured over 100 multicolored lights. Christmas tree displays publicly with electric lights became popular in the early 20th century, and by the mid-20th century, it became customary to display strings of lights along streets and on buildings. In the United States and Canada, it became popular to outline private homes with such Christmas lights in tract housing starting in the 1960s. By the late 20th century, the custom had also been adopted in other nations, including outside the Western world, notably in Japan and Hong Kong. In many countries, Christmas lights, as well as other Christmas stations, are traditionally erected on or around the first of Advent. Not in this house. They are erected in the first week of November. In 1963, a boycott of Christmas lights was done in Greenville, North Carolina, to protest the segregation that kept African Americans from being employed by downtown businesses in Greenville during the Christmas sales season. And it was a pretty effective way to protest the cultural and fiscal segregation in the town with a 33% African American population. In 1973, during an oil shortage triggered by an embargo by the Organization of Arab Petroleum Exporting Countries, later known as OPEC, President Nixon asked Americans not to put up Christmas lights to conserve energy use. Many Americans complied, and there were fewer displays that year. In some areas, Christmas lighting has become a fierce competition. In fact, there are several shows out there, The Great Christmas Light Fight, I believe is what it's called, amongst others that show off extremely talented and clearly well-funded families who have the ability to do and create amazing Christmas light displays. Today, it's estimated that more than 150 million lights sets are sold in America each year, with more than 80 million homes decorated with holiday lights. In the town of McAdenville, North Carolina, here in the U.S., that town has a tradition called Christmastown, USA, where the entire town is decorated with Christmas lights. I have to go visit them. Christmas lighting has led to recycling issues. Annually, more than 20 million pounds of discarded holiday lights are shipped to Shijiazhou, China. And this actually started in 1990. As of late 2009, many factories burned the lights to melt the plastic and retrieve the copper wire, releasing toxic fumes into the environment. A safer technique was developed that involved chopping the lights into a fine sand-like consistency, mixing it with water, and vibrating the slurry on a table, causing the different elements to separate out, similar to the process for panning for gold. And everything is recycled: copper, brass, the plastic, and glass. That's a lot of information about Christmas lights. Who knew? Because I sure as hell didn't. Are there any other festive fun facts you'd love to hear about? If so, please email us at keepingtheyuletidegay@gmail.com. Well, the sounds of sherry being poured lets us know it's time to head back to the Christmas kitchen for Mrs. Claus's tasty treats for your holiday fun times. Cheers!
Hello, dear listeners. I'm so excited you're back in my kitchen with me once again. Ooh, Thanksgiving is occurring in America, and I thought you could use a quick idea for a quick treat that even the little ones can make while you're waiting for dinner. Yes, you could do this at home. You know, just a little bit of stuff you have to do, a little bit of preparation. But it's an activity that even the kids can do. You know, you just got to watch them. But today, we are going to make melted snowman bark. Yes, you like a bark? You know, like a peppermint bark or a chocolate bark? Bark. With a key, like a dog. Anyway, what we're going to do, this one's going to make 6 servings, okay? You could actually make a lot more, but we're making large bark, okay? You can make smaller barks with the same amount of ingredients. You know, it's whatever you want to do. It's fine. Listen, your ingredients today are 10 ounces of melting wet chocolate. Do the wet chocolate, we're making snowmen, okay? Do white. You want some Reese's mini cups, the little tiny ones, all right? You want candy pieces for a snowman. So, you know, there's lots of different candy pieces you can get out there. There's kits that you can get. So we're looking for some candy eyes and maybe a bow tie if you want, or a carrot nose. You can definitely get carrot candy pieces. They're just colorful candy pieces. That's what you need. We need mini pretzels. Yes. And if you want to get fancy and use icing, that's fine. You could do some black icing. I'm not going to do that today because I don't got the time. But you could also put on, you know, maybe some chocolate sprinkles and some Christmas colored candies, you know, the little sprinkles if you want, or maybe even a silver candy, you know, because we're going to make it snow. Anyway, okay, so your kitchen tools are going to be, you need a small cookie sheet or parchment paper. They should give me a sponsorship. A mixing bowl, a spatula, a small knife, maybe a cutting board or a plate. Of course, a mixing spoon. And you should be good to go. Now, let's start off because you know rule one by now. It's really step one, but we're going to call it a rule going forward. We got to take our toast with sherry. I've opened a fresh new bottle. I've got a big tall glass because I'm at home. And it's allowed. I'm not flying a sleigh. Ooh, look at that. Oh, my. Perfect. Ooh, perfect. All right. Now, we got to make a toast to yourself and your success that I know you're going to have. So, in this case, we're just going to say our normal toast, which is Christmas cheer to my holiday queers. Oh, why is it so good? It's like the first cup of the day. Some people like a cup of coffee or maybe a diet soda. Not me. Give me a cup of sherry to start my day. All right. Now, first thing we're going to do is we're going to take our plate or our cutting board and your knife. You're going to get your little Reese's. Make sure it's the minis, okay? They are to come unwrapped, so it saves you some time. Now, because I'm making six, I'm only going to take out three little peanut butter cups, okay? But if you're going to do more than that, then you'll need more. But each cup makes two snowmen, okay? Now, you can make snow people, right? I'm just using the term snowmen because I'm making snowmen or those that identify, so it's fine. Okay, so you're going to take your peanut butter cup and you're going to turn it upside down and lay it flat. So you're going to take the rigid side, lay it flat on the plate, and just cut it right in half. Should go pretty quick. Here we go. Here we go. Perfect. And if they smoosh, because I had one smoosh, take out another one and give yourself a little peanut butter cuppy treat. It's allowed. Why? Because it's your kitchen. That's why. Here we go. All right. So I've got those. That's most of the prep work done. Now, the next thing that we're going to do is we're going to put some parchment paper on our cookie sheet, all right? Now, a little tip to keep your parchment paper sealed down, you can use, we're at baking, so you can put some tape on it if you want, but you can also melt some melting chocolate, put it on the pan itself, and then put the paper over it. It'll hold the paper in place. What a beautiful tip. All right, we've got our pan. We're good to go. So the next thing we're going to do is we're going to take our melting chocolate. Remember, it's white. About 10 ounces. You can use more. How many you're going to make, it doesn't really matter. Put it in our bowl. There we go. All right, now we're going to melt it. And this might take you a bit, depending on the type of chocolate that you're using. So I'm going to get this started in the microwave, and I'll be right back. Okay. If you want to hear me, put it in the microwave, you can. But I'm not going to. All right, I'll put it in the microwave, and I'll be right back. So now we've got our chocolate and you're stirring it in the bowl because you want to make sure that it's thick but smooth. And we're going to pour it into the pan. And I know that you can't really hear me pouring it into the pan, and that's okay. What we want to do is you're going to pour it into the pan, and you want to, spread it out in the pan to get the best use of it, okay? You don't want it super thick because then you're just eating melted white chocolate, which is fine. But we're doing a treat. All right, so give me a second here. Let me shake it out. Now comes the fun part. You're going to take your Reese's hat. That's what it is. You took that mini Reese's cup and you cut it in half, okay? Remember that. So what we're going to do is we're going to take the peanut butter cup and we're going to put it peanut butter side down in the chocolate. But listen, you're making a hat with it, so you want the wider part of the peanut butter cup to be at the bottom, okay? So I'm going to do that for six pieces. Let's try to get this a little bit better. And wherever you want to do it, because you're making six at least. But you can easily double and triple and quadruple this recipe if you want to have multiple pans, okay? It's fine. Once we got that, I'm just doing the six, and one of my snowmen is actually kind of short, but that's okay. What we're doing now is we're going to get our candies out. And I've got my eyes, and so I'm going to put my candy eyes down first, right under the hat. Okay, so I'm doing that, and that'll take me just a few moments. And sorry, I'm laughing because I put it doesn't matter anyway. So I've got my eyes. And now we're going to put your carrot nose. Now, if you want to use icing for this, that is fine. It's okay. You might probably want to wait till it hardens up a little bit, but whatever. It's fine. I'm using carrot candies. Now, they're not carrot flavor. They're just sugar candies created to look like carrots. And I got them at my local hobby shop. Okay? And each one of them is going to get a carrot nose. And then after that, we've got to put our buttons on. That's right. You know, with buttons. Yes. So I've got these chocolate circle candies that are dark black, but they're chocolate. I'm going to drop three of those or two, depending on how creative you want to get. And if you're letting the kids do it, let them go wild. But we're going to put those in there. So give me just a few moments to do that. Perfect. All right. Next, we're going to take our pretzel sticks, okay? Our pretzel sticks. And maybe you can have a snack, it's fine. But you're going to take your pretzel sticks And with your pretzel stick, if you're making a bigger snowman, you could leave it as its full size. But when we talk about pretzel sticks, we're talking about the mini pretzel sticks, not the big rods. We all love a big rod, but not in this case. No, what we're going to do is take those pretzel sticks and we're going to snap them in half, or as pretty close to half as possible. There we go. And then what we're going to do is we're going to lay them out to make them our arms for the snowman. Now, if you want to get more realistic, you can, you know, make them different shapes and sizes, like you were outside building a snowman in the backyard or maybe the front yard or on the roof. I don't know what you do, where you're at. Anyway, so give me just a few minutes to keep breaking these pretzels. I've got two more to do. There we go. All right. Now comes the fun decorative part. You're going to take your sprinkles, all right? Now, I use a Christmas sprinkle batch, so it's got red and white and green little sprinkles. Now, these are the flatter circle kinds, but you can use the long ones. It doesn't matter. Or you can use maybe a silver or a gold, dust of glitter, whatever you want. But you're going to sprinkle it around the pan to make it look more Christmassy. But, you know, if you want to, you don't have to do this step. It's optional. But maybe if you just want to put white sprinkles down, make it like a snowfall. That's fine. But, you know, whatever you want to do. And that... we're done. That's what we need to do. Now, we've got a couple more steps, but first, our next step is to put our pan in the refrigerator for at least 1 hour, but longer if you need to, because you want it to firm up, because you're going to cut the pieces into bark. Right, you're going to cut them into bark. So, here's what you're going to do. We're going to put our pans in the fridge. We're going to give ourselves some sherry. Work on another project, maybe. And we'll be back in a little bit, okay? All right, I'll see you soon. It'll be really soon for you because I'm going to edit it. You know how it works. Okay, I'll be back. And we're back. All right, it's all firmed up, and we all love when we feel things that are firm. At least I do. I've had a couple of sherries, and its life is great, but I need to fill it up again. You chop yours off too. There we go. All right. Now that you've got it out of the fridge, all you got to do is cut it. Yes, so you want to cut your tray in sections, your bark in sections, so that there's a snowman in each section. So again, you know, depending on how many you're making, I did six, and it is already a hot mess, and that is okay. There's my first one. It's super cute, and I'm sure. Isn't that pretzel crunch? It's so good. It's so good. And we're cutting, and we are almost done here. That did pretty well. Yes, it did. Pretty good. If I say so myself. All right. I've got one last one here that we're cutting. And then we'll be ready to go. And you can put these in fun little decorative containers for your family and your friends. And, you know, or like I said, you can do this as a treat with the kiddos, you know, on Thanksgiving. You know, and if you decide that you don't want to do individual pieces, that's fine too. If you'd rather just, you know, break the bark like we normally would break a bark, then do that. Break your bark and have a good time. All right. Now that I've got all mine cut, we're done. I know, right? It was such a lackluster finish, but it happened. Anyway, okay, my dears. I'm heading back to the bar. I mean, the mixing station, to create a new fun cocktail for next month to help us, you know, get through the big holidays of Christmas and New Year's Eve. So join me back next month when we'll have a cocktail, all right? Whew. All right, I'm going to have another sip of sherry. And until next time, happy treat tasting and Merry Christmas.
Now it's time for the oddly titled Old Man Winter's Wacky, Wild, and Weird Holiday Music Jamboree.
Hi, it's me, Old Man Winter. Welcome to my little corner of the North Pole. You know, I love karaoke so much, I get to do a segment now about wacky or wild or just plain weird holiday songs. That's right. Now, sometimes these songs are a little too wild or too weird or even too wacky to have a lot of info about them, but I'm going to still tell you about them and always play you a quick little snippet. Since it's November, I thought, well, hell, we need a Jingle Bell style song. And there's so many out there. But, you know, I realized I have got the pick of the litter for this one. So this song we're going to talk about is the Jingle Cats Medley by the Jingle Cats. Oh, good Lord. Yeah, it's the Jingle Cats. Now, this is a true holiday earworm. Now, producer Mike Spala released this full album of the Jingle Cats called Meowie Christmas in 1993. However, his version of the song Jingle Bells began playing on the radio years before. He said, I'm gonna get these cats out there. Now, what he does, which is just insane to me, he mixes actual animal sounds to match the tones of the songs. He said that it took more than 1,000 meows and scratches and scrowls to assemble 20 melodies. Sweet baby Frosty, can you imagine that? Listen, I love animals, but damn, not that much. Look, the album reached number 86 on a Billboard chart and was sold out a week before Christmas. Then his second album, titled Here Comes Santa Claus, with Claus being spelled with the C-L-A-W-S, and it starred his cats, Sprocket, Twistler, Binky, Cheese Puff, Clara, Gramer, Max, Petunia, and Cubal. Now, he played the accordion, and he got some background dog barking from his dog named, I swear to you, Clippy Cloppy. The dog's name was Clippy Cloppy. Its success resulted in a national tour. I don't even know how that worked. And then he got to be on TV. Then he started doing spinoffs. He started Jingle Dogs, which was released on September 11th, 1995. That CD was titled Christmas Unleashed. And then, I don't know what was going on in his mind, but in 1997, he put out a third album called Jingle Babies with Jews and Baby Sounds. I'm not going to listen. Then Jingle Cats and Jingle Dogs started coming out on video. And then there was a mail order catalog that was out there selling Jingle Cats t-shirts and buttons and stickers. Then Hallmark greeting cards signed him on for a 4-year contract to sell Jingle Cats singing cards in 2008. And in the first 3 months, they sold over 125,000 cards. 125,000. And then, because we can't stop, in 1998, somebody said, hey, let's make a video game about Jingle Cats. And that was released in Japan. Listen, all this talk has made me catatonic. Come back next month for some wacky or wild or just plain weird holiday songs. And remember, till next time, keep chillin'.
Well, that wraps up our November episode. Thank you for listening to Keeping the Yuletide Gay. Join us next month for another episode and continue to help us put the mess in Christmas. Bye. Thank you for listening to Keeping the Yuletide Gay. Don't forget, if you need more Gayson in your life, to listen to my other podcast, Gabbing with Gayson, and Out of the Holiday Closet. And you can find more information about all of our shows at gabbingwithgayson.com. We wish you a Merry Christmas, provided by FreeXmasMP3.com. Other music and sounds used in this episode are the properties of the individual copyright holders, and they are used for purposes of commentary and review. No infringement is intended. Hi, it's me, Gason, the host of the Gabbing with Gason podcast. Join me and one of my guesty bestie co-hosts every other week as we take you on a wild ride of randomness. We'll gab about LGBTQ plus topics, spooky Halloween specials, festive Christmas vibes, He-Man and my love of all things 80s and 90s, and of course, pop culture, movies, music, banned books, and everyday life stories. So join us for the gay, join us for the laughter, and of course, join us for the cocktails. Buckle up for the Gabbing with Gason podcast. Subscribe now and get ready to gab with me and all my guesty besties.
So say hello, we're gabbing with Gason now.